And Father, we pray, God, that you meet every need according to your riches and glory. Father, let us experience you through the word of God. The word come to make us better. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Man, you may be seated in the presence of our life-changing King. Well, today they given me an amount of time, and I got my clock on, so I'm going to stop when it stops. So I do want to talk about prayer today. Again, thanks for the invitation to be here today for me just to represent God as a man. And I think when I got the thing from Dan, it was real men do blank, 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 blank. So prayer is a passion of mine. So I believe real men pray. I got my shirt on. I will pray, I shall pray, and I must pray. And that should be our commitment, because prayer means a lot to the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, in Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning at the first verse, the disciples asked Jesus a question. Y'all know the question. Y'all theologians, amen? Teach us. How to not preach, teach us, not teach, teach us not how to lay hands and see miracles, signs, and wonders. That's not what they asked him. They asked him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, why would they ask him that? I mean, it had to be a reason for them to ask Jesus, teach me how to pray. Because they saw the results, they figured out the results of how Jesus was doing what he was doing. They watched him. He spent a lot of time with the disciples, 3 years. And they watched him. And they began to see, is it Tino? Tino. They begin to see that there was time when Jesus Lee was still away. He'd get away from everybody and everything. And so they saw there was a connection, man, to him getting away and the miracles and the signs and the wonders. So teach us. They felt like it had to be in prayer that this was happening. And Jesus began to teach them how to pray. It's amazing that the one thing that they wanted from Jesus was how to pray. But you can have a concert at Northwest Bible, and it'll be standing room only, trying to get in. Call a prayer meeting. And everybody's a VIP because you can sit anywhere you want. Why? I think it's because people haven't connected and understood and experienced the power of prayer. I heard this illustration once. You know, The thought was, why don't people pray? And here was the illustration. Okay, vending machines. You go to a vending machine and you want to, what's your favorite soda? Dr. Pepper. You want a Dr. Pepper. You put your dollar in, punch the Dr. Pepper button, and you expect what? A Dr. Pepper to come down. But nothing come down. But you really like Dr. Pepper, though. So you're just not going to give up that easy. So you go back in your pocket. You get another dollar. You put that dollar in, and you push which button? Dr. Pepper. Amen. And you still expecting for what? To come down. But no Dr. Pepper. You are not going to keep on putting your money in that machine. Well, okay, well, here go three times. Okay, all right. You really like Dr. Pepper. All right. But watch this. The same way with that, when you pray and you don't get an answer, and you keep praying and you don't get an answer, maybe not this church. I mean, I'm talking about Oak Cliff, not y'all. Y'all not like that. You will stop praying. And that's why it's important, because God has shown us in the word that he wants to answer our prayers. He has. So the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. And through the Bible, we see part of the problem is it's connected to how we pray and what we're believing for. It matters what you believe. It really does matter what you believe. All right, turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Two passages I'm gonna land on today, and I'm gonna get out of your way. Prayer. I will pray. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and I'm gonna begin reading at the 12th verse. Very, very familiar passage of scripture when it comes to prayer. And here's what the Bible said here in the 12th verse. Let's start with the 12th verse. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, 14th verse, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here it is. Then will I, watch this, hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will hear their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Here, there was a condition. He said, if my people, that's huge. That's possessive. If my people would what? Here's the first thing, which I think in the body sometimes is where we miss it. Humble themselves. Humble themselves. And when you look around in our churches, in our society, you don't see a lot of humility. You don't. You see a lot of pride, arrogance, and different things like that. And I'm not saying that's what you all are. But if you're not humble, that's going to hinder you seeking God. Because if you're humble and you're walking in humility, what you're saying is, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. I want you. That's the difference. But then watch this. But if you think you all of that in a bag of chips, you watch this. I don't care what the Lord try to tell you to do through the word of God or through the spirit, you're going to do it your way. And you're not going to wait on God. So the first thing he said, if my people would humble themselves. So before you pray, he said, humble yourself and pray. In other words, you have to spend time in prayer. The wonderful thing I love about prayer is the fact I realize this, because I haven't always been a praying person. You know, I'll bless my food, you know. And then, you know, I'll pray with the kids maybe before we go to bed. But just that individual time, intimate time with him, I wasn't doing that. But I realized something was missing in my life. And I began to be on this mission, this journey. I want to be able to pray like the Bible. But the first thing the Lord said that you got to do, Bobby, is this. You have to first be committed. You have to first be committed to prayer. And then when you commit to prayer, there's this period and this season where you discipline yourself in prayer. Now, many of you guys have probably played sports or been on a team or doing something like that. It takes discipline to play a sport. It takes discipline to get better at anything. So the work was in being disciplined. But if you get tired real easy, or if you hit a wall or things get kind of tough, you quit, you'll never reach it. And it took me about 2 years of just laying before God, understanding prayer and spending time in prayer. Then finally, what happened, there became this delight in praying. And that's what you want, is that it's not a chore. It's not just a duty. It's a delight, because when I get with him and I'm not talking about all the time, Father, give me this and give me that, and would you do this and would you do that? And I'm not saying you don't do that, but that really isn't a relationship. But when you come into his presence, what we did in the beginning was just worshiped him. And when we praise him, what you're doing is you worshiping him because of what he means to you and the relationship that you have with him. I'm talking about intimacy. How many guys in here married? Amen. Now, okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. How many of you guys enjoy intimacy with your wife? Hands still up. Amen. All right. So that's what prayer will do for a person. He said, first, you got to armor yourself. You got to pray. You got to turn from your wicked ways. But no, the third thing was seek his face. Seek his face. You be humble. You pray. You seek his face. And watch this. And see, seeking his face is more than, here it is, seeking his hand. Because many times we want the gift, but not the giver. Dr. Evan tells this story about when he used to go preach and travel. And then what he would do when he get to the airport, he'll pick up a little gift, a toy for the kids. And they would just love it, you know, whatever. And then after a while, he realized that the children was wanting him to go speak and leave. Because why? The gift. He brings a gift pack all the time. Now, we're laughing, but sometimes we can be like that. We want what God can do for us. There's nothing wrong with that. But the relationship is more than that. Just to be in his presence. Just to be in his presence. You know, you guys got relationships, you know, in the men's group, whatever. There are times where you just want to be with the person. Me, Bob, and Robin, about once a month or once a quarter, whatever, we just get together. For just that reason. And that's what the Father wants for us to do, just when we pray, just for that reason. You know, I think it grieves his heart. Every time you show up, you give me, give me, give me, give me. Amen. So you seek his face and you're not seeking his hand. But then that last one, then I'm going to move on. Turn from your wicked ways. Because when you begin to pray and you're born again, and you got his spirit in you, trust me, the Holy Spirit will show you you. But if you're not willing to turn, that will hinder prayer. Every time. Every time. And the last passage, I only got about 5-6 more minutes. Philippians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. I'm going to close with this passage. I will pray. I shall, as men, because you know when you didn't choose your gender, you didn't choose your gender, but the fact that God created you male automatically give you authority and responsibility and oversight. And that's why men should pray. Because guys, you got a lot of responsibility. People are looking to you, families and wives and on your job, whatever. They're looking to you to lead. And I don't believe you can be an effective leader and you can't pray. I just don't. But when he created us men, he created us to have dominion, according to Genesis, authority. We're supposed to reign, and rule in this earth. I love the prayer that Jesus gave them. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? Where? Right here. And you cannot reign and rule without prayer. Thy kingdom come. And Lord, your will be done. Not when I get to heaven. On earth. Where I'm operating. Where I'm living. I want heaven to show up. I want heaven to show up in my life. I want heaven to show up in my family. I want heaven to show up in my church. I want heaven to show up, whatever you're calling me to do. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe it's the will of God that men pray. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I'm going to close with this. Let me see. Yeah. He said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. This is what Paul is saying. Be anxious for nothing. Okay? So don't worry. But he didn't just leave it there. He said, but in everything, don't be anxious for nothing. But in everything, here it is. Here's that word. But by prayer and supplication. But I love this next part, Doug. It said, with thanksgiving. Now, that's a piece probably that's missing in our prayer life. With thanksgiving, watch this. Now make your requests made known unto me. And he made a promise. And the peace of God. How many need, who need peace? We need peace in this earth. And the peace of God. What this? I'm not talking about just earthly peace. I'm not talking about regular peace. I'm talking about this extra peace. And the peace of God, watch this, which passes all understanding. Y'all, I know y'all been in situations where you shouldn't be at peace with what you're facing, a sickness, a diagnosis, the divorce, and all that kind of stuff that's going on. You shouldn't be at peace. But he said, if you do it this way, you're going to have peace even in the middle of the storm. And you know what? We got a great example of that. When Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and the storm came and the water was coming in the boat, where was he at? On a pillow. Now watch this. And when you put your head on a pillow, you serious about going to sleep. But that's the peace which passes all understanding. Watch this. Shall keep and guard your heart. And that's what we want. That's what prayer will do for you. One thing I believe that what we should do, we should worry about nothing and pray about everything. But the reality is, we worry first. And many times, before we even go to God, we go to our buddies, our friends, someone we think that may have the answer that we need first. But the first place we need to go, I'm going to tell you why we should go there, and I'm closing. Because he loves you. And not unconditionally, he loves you. And he want to bless you. And he want to fulfill the promises that he has given you. But watch this. They are there. They are available. But guess what? We're going to have to receive them through prayer, through intercession. We have 8 years ago, when I really got turned on to prayer, I was the pastor, associate pastor of fellowship, which was small groups, confident care, counseling, and all that. But I started going to this early prayer ministry on Sunday morning before service, and I got hooked. And so as I was going to prayer, they told me, in the life of this church, there had never been a pastor that attended early prayer. And guess what they started calling me? The pastor of prayer. Tell you something about words. They kept saying it. They kept calling me that. You know, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Jacob's to Israel. They kept saying, pastor prayer, pastor prayer, pastor prayer. And Doug, it hit me one day. I want to pastor them. So what I did, I went to Dr. Evan, and I said, Dr. Evan, can I have the prayer ministry? At that time, prayer ministry was under worship. He said, I don't have a problem with it, but you need to get to the pastor of worship and see what he said. I went to the pastor of worship. I said, man, can I have prayer? He said this, Bob. He said, Pastor Gibson, now I like to pray, but you love to pray. And he gave it to me. And 8 years later, we started on a Thursday night. We call it fight night. At 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock every Thursday. And Scott, for 8 years, we have not missed one Thursday in 8 years. Almost 200 on Zoom praying. I'd say that to just stir you. Because there ever was a time where we really need not only to know about prayer, but to participate in prayer. Because I still believe that miracles and signs and wonders follow them that believe. And when we begin to call on God in prayer, then what we have done is connected to a power source that's unbelievable, unlimited, and he can do anything. The thing I love about prayer is not so much of what it can give me and get me somewhere, but it's the change that he makes in my own heart. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I want to pray over you, then we're going to go to our questions. Here's what I want to do. It's only going to take 1 minute. If you here right now, we're men, okay? If you here right now and you are in a 911 situation, we don't have to know what it is. But if you're in a 911 situation, let me tell you what 911 situation means. It's like you needed God to move yesterday. That's where you are. That's where you are. Just for 30 seconds, if you're in a 911 situation, I just want you to just lift your hand. If you're willing to do that, you're in a 911 situation. I see your hand. I'm going to pray over you. 911. I see your hand. 911. When you call 911, you need it. Father, you saw the hand. And I just speak over them right now. Father, we come to you because you're the one that's able to do anything but fail. Holy Spirit, have your way right now. And we believe you're here and you're present. And not only are you willing, you're able to move. And so I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to call on you on behalf of those that raised their hand. And I give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, put your hand together and just bless the Lord just for a minute. And so I think we got some, I think that's right, Dan, we got discussion questions. We got discussion questions on the screen, and we want you to just around those questions, just have a conversation. The first one is, what is your definition of prayer? You know, let them in here. What is your definition of prayer? Maybe you know this is what I do. This is how I pray. Okay, and then what prayers have you received recently? Testimonies. I love testimonies because it stirs my faith. So let a man hear, what has God done for you? Amen? But then also, what prayers are you still believing for? This is an opportunity for your brother to be in agreement with you and pray. Okay? So those three we're going to talk about. I have a amount of time we got. Guys, thank you guys for being here today. So let's chop it up.